Well, we have a great opportunity this morning because we get to hear a part of the story of Pastor Fahim. I've been telling lots of people this morning that you could probably make a few movies from Fahim's life, and there's lots of material, but we're gonna kind of do the 30,000 foot view here and learn a little bit about Pastor Fahim and the tapestry that God has woven through his life. And so I'm not gonna do a little very much talking at all, because you have lots to share. And so let's just start way to way. Pastor Fahim, could you tell us a bit about what it was like growing up for you?
Well, I have several very strange or different like destination in my life, because from the age, like when I born and grew up in Muslim family, Muslim country, so I was a Muslim, but I was culturally Muslim, so that's what was the belief and faith. But when I was 10 years old, my country changed from royal, like the kingdom system, to Islamic Republic. And that was affecting myself, my whole generation, every Iranians. That's why even in today's in the news, you can hear that still there's a problems in Iran. So I was 10 years old when the revolution happened, and did influence in my life personally, and I think that was a destiny, that was a adventure journey start that time. You know, the time that because I was seeking for a truth, because every TV, you like open radios, anywhere, like it's all talk about Islam, about God, about like all the religions, things that was very important to the or people there. That's why I was trying to seek for a God, very basically. I mean, we did have to, because we all go to mosque and learn how to use, you know, guns and all this stuff. This was mandatory for everyone. Like, they train everyone, because in the same time, we go to the war between Iran and Iraq. So, and that was a time when I was I was a very angry boy. Like, I was looking for something to satisfy inside my heart. I could not find that. And so I was trying to see if I can be a good person. But I couldn't do that. Obviously, it wasn't me to be a good person and religious person. So unfortunately, I started using drugs. So when I was, 11, I started using drugs. So. And then by age 13, so I have so much issues and challenge with my families, my parents, because I could not fit myself. I could not see myself under any boundaries, any rules. I was rebellious, was part of my, you know, my personality. For that reason, I ran away a few times from the home. Finally, I become independent after I was age 13, 14. Coming, visiting, going, but I wasn't really a family person. And using drugs continually. And if you use drugs, I mean, there is only way you sell it, buy and sell it, to afford to use it daily. Unfortunately, that was my life until age 17. I've been in war. I've been in military training, you know, because I was part of the, you know, I want to I run away from the home, and then I go to the, our country was on the war, so I have to be, you know, find some place to just keep myself. So the war was like, military was the best place, you know. Anyway, that was part of my life until age 17. I've been in prison several times because I was an angry boy. I was get to fight many times with the knife, and that's why I was get arrested and put in prison a few times in Iran. Age 17, finally I have to run away from the military base because they caught me with the drugs. I was part of training, and they accused me that I'm a political, you know, I have some political background. Maybe they want to investigate. So I realized, oh, this is something accusation. I wasn't, because I wasn't. And so I run away. I escaped from the military base. And that's it. I knew if I stay in Iran, then if they arrest me, then probably it will be my few days in my life. That's it. They will kill me. Because unfortunately, in my country and some other countries, if you're aware, the killing people is easy. Like, it's not like, you know, the human right is not really doing anything there, right? Anyway, I was 17. I left Iran to Pakistan illegally. When I was in Pakistan, the first 3 months, I pick up same lifestyle, end up in prison again in Lahore, camp jail for 7 months. I come out. That was a life that, again, I have to pick up. That was the only things I knew. So I end up the part of the small crime, you know, the system. And when I was 19, I was offered by Canadian, by Pakistani government, the Secret Service, if I want to work with them. You know, in some countries, if you are drug dealers, you know, you have to pay your dues to the system to able to let you do that. Obviously, that's a corruption is almost everywhere, but that was some places more. And that was part of my journey. So I have some police officer friends that they offered me to work with them. First, I wasn't happy because I don't want to be rad or working for, you know, police. But then they told me, no, we want to, you work among foreigners about the, be in Hindi or in Urdu. When you are white, they call you Gora. We want you to work among Gora people, white people, because they come here as a teacher, as an engineer, as a doctor, but they share gospel and they convert Muslim to the Christianity. But if we have proof from any of those, we can deport them. And because you are Iranian, so you can easily melt there. And so that's where actually the journey to go to the church start. So I start go to the churches to visit some churches to see if I can find anyone, you know, like become my target. So I was happy, young boy, undercover, doing all this stuff. That's just the dream of every young man, right?
Yeah. So just to review, you had to flee from Iran because you were dealing and using drugs in the military. Then you went to Pakistan and worked with organized crime there, were in and out of prison, and then became like a secret worker with the Pakistani government to find Christians that were trying to convert people in order to deport them. And so yes. This just feels like you're just primed to become a Christian. I mean, that's the path everyone takes to becoming a Christian, right? So, I mean, this is just obviously how this is going to end up. But I mean, that's a remarkable story. Yeah. Just, and again, you feel this is the 30,000 foot view, right? Like we're not stopping everywhere along the way. But then, okay, so you have this moment where you're starting to build relationships, reach out to churches in order to find people to have deported.
Yeah. So during this, all my life is such, so I've been homeless. It was a time like for more than 3-4 months. Sleeping in the street in Pakistan, you know, and not having food to eat sometime. So I experienced some hard, tough life. But also I've been hanging out with celebrities. You know, there was a guy who was actor for a drama actor. So, and then he was wanting to be a movie actor. So we become friends and we hang out together. We have a very different lifestyle, right? So as a young man, I was very satisfied and in some way, but in deep down inside my heart, I was angry, I was upset, and I was seeking something that I could be satisfied from inside, not because as a lifestyle, I was have everything. And one of the challenges I did have, I remember when I was very young, my dad told me, son, I know you are not behave yourself properly and you fight. I was always fight, you know, like I was kind of street fighting all the time. I get beat up many times too. It's not like my whole face and my nose broken, my head broken, so much stuff, right? So, but the thing is, what happened, he told me two things. He said, there's two things if you do, I don't come to help you. Because usually when they arrest me, I was in police station, he come, he pay money or whatever, he just tried to help me to come out of prison. And he did very hard to do that for me. But he said, two things if you do, I don't come after you. One, if you rape anyone, in the case of rape, I never come after you. You know, or second, if you do have an affair with the woman who have a husband, this is something that I cannot handle, that I will be embarrassed, and I'm not going to follow that. So these two things was deep down inside my heart. You know, I'm a man, I shouldn't do this stuff, right? And then I remember, before I become Christian, I was recently like just in Spain with one missionary, I met him. And during that time, also I met a woman, I become friend with her. I didn't know she was married. But after I involved with her, you know, have a relationship, I realized she's married, you know. And that was kind of become a big fight inside my heart. So I now listening to some Christian training, because I ended up, you know, become friends with the missionary who was from England, has a called OM team, Operation Mobilization. He has a ministry there, and he was trying to haunt me, and I was trying to haunt him. I was a spying over him to see how he's doing. I'm getting pictures, recording voice, you know, just to see what he's doing. And he was the right person to spy over him because he was missionary. So as we was doing this, so he offered me to stay with him, and I did, you know, get the offer, because it was, you know, kind of, I get ordered to, yeah, you should go, because I didn't have my own bedroom. But anyway, start living with him and start listening to his teaching. So some teaching wasn't make sense so much for me, like love your enemy, or if somebody hit into your face, being the other one. It was a kind of, what kind of person do that, right? Like, you don't want it. It's not acceptable, not. So anyway, but in other way, something inside me was eating me, like I'm have a fair relationship with somebody. So I end up, I wanted suicide. I took over 120 tablets. And the one case, two of juice, and I eat all of them. Heavy medicines, heavy tablets, right? Like volume 10, volume 5. Anyway, it's end up, that was fall on the same place. I wasn't finished it because of fact so much fast. And I was end up in hospital. And for a month, I was out of my mind. But Lord did not let me die. I was supposed to die. Because I said, I cannot stop myself to having affair with this woman, and I'm not an honest person. This guy, the missionary guy, he loves me so much. He was respecting me. He gave me respect that never anyone gave it to me, you know, because if before I become Christian, if he saw me in history anywhere, you can easily recognize this guy is a terrible maker, you know, he don't want to do anything with me, obviously. That was a situation. But this guy, he gave me respect that I wasn't deserving. So I was also have a fight inside my heart. What's going on? Anyway, one night I was in my room in that missionary house. I was living in one room upstairs, and I was angry. I was looking at the mirrors, and I was accusing myself. What are you doing? So I was get upset. I'm angry on God too, and I just started yelling. It was like 11 o'clock in the night. Usually, you know, if you know British people, you know, like 8 o'clock, you have to be die asleep. You know, like 6 o'clock, your dinner, 8 o'clock, that's it. And there was a rule in that house, but I was a guy who only had a freedom. And anyway, I was 11 o'clock something, I start crying and yelling to the God. I said, God, I don't know who you are. Are you Moses? Are you Jesus? Are you Muhammad? Are you energy? Are you whoever you are? You did not let me die. And that's not what I want to die, but you didn't let me die. Let me know who you are, right? And then, because I was part of the teaching, like in the past, I have some memories. I was feeling that Jesus is the one I should accept in my heart. And I want to go downstairs to the man, you know, knock his door to come out to pray for me. But when I opened the door, I realized he was in the stairs sitting and praying for me. So I said, brother, I want to give my life to the Lord. He took me to the chapel room. I was on my knee. That's why I never see myself stand up before the Lord. I cannot. That's why I always go on my knee, no matter what. I know some people maybe can judge or not, but this is, I want to be how I feel. I want to be who I am. So I was on my knee, and I started, he told me, you have to confess all your sins. Can you do that? I said, oh, well. So because that time I was surrendered all, right? It was all after suicide, after all these things. So I start. I remember my English better than now. Not better than I'm admitted better now, but that time was quite worse. Like Wednesday and Thursday always mix, right? So what happened? I start confessing in English. She said, no. I want you to confess loud, but I speak your mother tongue. I don't have to understand it, but I want you to be honest to God. So I was crying and talking, you know, bringing everything before the Lord. And he was has one hand on my head and has one hand's Bible. He was reading, after I knew, like he was reading from Revelation and Psalms. That was the two books he was continuing reading. I don't know how long it took, but I cry and pray, just give names. And he said, you know, ask for forgiveness and forgive those who sins against you. All those processes that we go through, the repentance. And I believe that time, not just I born again, but I was baptized by Holy Spirit, because all of a sudden I realized, that's it. That's my end of my life. Now is a new life happening. So,
that's amazing. I mean, again,
we're just
flying over the top really quickly here. But this moment happens, and we're gonna like time skip a bit here. There's a lot more. I know you've shared with me. There's probably many things you haven't shared with me that happened after that. But the next question I want to ask you, Fahim, in about the 5 minutes we have left here, is what is it that you feel like God has put on your heart now? What is He doing in you and through you now as you look at the world around you?
Yeah, I give my life to the Lord. Since then, one of the things I ask, Lord, use me as a tool in your hand in any capacity, any things that you want, and train me, you know, and since then He's doing that. But praise the Lord, He's been using me in different capacity. I've been working with Salvation Army as a researcher, as a sustainer of drug addiction. So I help a lot of drug people to come to the Lord and just leave the drugs and, you know, counseling them. 2.5 years I was working with them. I worked with Bible Society when I was in Pakistan, sharing gospels. And then I moved to Canada, 1997, you know, I started working with Arab ministry. And then in 2001, I was ordained as a pastor in the Mennonites, which is, I know when God wanted me to be pastor, I asked Him to train me. So He sent me to the Columbia Bible College. You know, again, it was a tough and very challengeful journey, because, you know, studying academic in English is not good for me, not easy for me. So it was very hard. So I tried my best 2.5 years, and then I was pastor in North Vancouver. And then Lord called me for a mission. He said, you know, I wasn't satisfied, you know, what I'm doing. I want more, right? So Lord gave me the vision in Turkey refugee mission. I did have 10 years Turkey refugee, like 10 years annual conference I did every year. Well, for 1 month I was staying in Turkey, visiting different cities. I think over maybe 35 to 40 seminars. And also I did church planting, like 50 church planting, but those small home church planting that come and refuse and then they go. So that was kind of running that ministry for 10 years. Over thousands of people come to the Lord through the ministries. Lord used that. Over like 500-600 baptism happens. And I did 2 years radio ministry. And now I'm still involved with the radio ministry with the Sweden. Lord bless me through the award-winning, from the Swedish government, and there's things for been helping, award for helping refugees and homeless people, which is I give the pictures. I don't know if you have that, the diploma with 2015. My wife and I. I launched also online ministry in 2016 officially. I started using online ministry since 2011, which is many people will say, what are you doing? I was using Yahoo Messengers and then Skype, because I know now people need to know that. And then since 2016 officially, I was launched a online Vancouver Christian Church, which is, I'm still doing it, as you guys see that every Saturday now. And I host locally over, 20 seminars in the last, 15 years, and a couple of conferences, 4 or 5 days conferences. I think I owe Jesus my life, okay? I never ask Him, okay, Lord, if we do this, I will do that. Or if I do this, you do that for me. No. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Just tell me what to do, because I owe Him, and I never expect anything back, which He gave me much more than I deserve. The best wife ever in the world, 5 kids, 2 grandchild. Like, I never deserve all those things, I tell you. Like, that's why I want my family up, you know, when things are, I have the, yeah. I just want to share one testimony. Sometimes we are scared we feel like, oh, if I do this, maybe something happen. Maybe people judge me. Maybe I get attacked. I want to tell you one day, it was second year of my trip to the Turkey, second year, and I was driving. There was an interpreter with me who was actually a homeopathic doctor, and he's right now in Australia. I was an older man, but anytime I was go to Turkey, he become my interpreter, you know, with me. We go visit refugees and stuff. So I was driving the car behind me and it started honking. So I wanted to let him go, but I couldn't because I have a truck beside me. So he was really upset and angry and he started keep honking. So finally I let him go. He go and stopped in front of me. It's just middle of the highway, break, right? So, and then it's a time that I feel like this guy, he come out, he want to fight with me. And the interpreter, the guy was with me, he ran away. He told me, please don't come out of the car. He ran away out to go. He said, we are a foreigner, you know, Yabanje, Yabanje. He was speaking his language. And he just threw him out and he walked toward me. So in the second, I have thinking, how should I fight this guy, because he was a big guy. So I planned to beat him up, right? In a second, because you have to calculate, he's coming to beat you. But the Lord told me no. I said, okay. I remember my window was up. I put a little bit down, and this guy come toward me. I look at him, I start praying for him in my heart. This guy, it was a window, like he started talking. Mama, that's he, God, that's he, he was speaking his language. I don't know what he was saying, but he was saying certain words and he wanted to, like, fight me, but he couldn't. And I was sitting looking at him, and those two guys, because he was with his friend, and my friend was out, the both were watching us. And then finally he got upset, very bad, he didn't know what he was saying, he just go, and they both sit in the car and they left. My friends come, he sit with me, then he look at me. He said, you understand what he was saying? I said, no, what he was saying? He said, he wanted to beat you up, but something was stopping him. Something don't let him even touch the window. You know, if I was fight, doesn't matter if I beat the person or he beat me, it's end up in a police station, and probably I never get a visa or go back to the Turkey anymore. And you know how many souls was I missed? Sometime in the moment, if we listen to the Lord, we can change whole journey.
Amen.
Trusting Amen. The Lord is important.
Amen. Which leads us nicely into how we're going to wrap up our time together this morning. One of the things we want to make sure to communicate to everybody is Fahim right now has felt led to dedicate himself to the work that God has given him. As you've just heard, he's always looking for new ways or more ways to partner with God. And I think that we would all generally agree from this brief synopsis that the Lord has been rewarding that. The Lord has been in that. And right now, as Fahim has been ordained in the church, what we are looking for is for you to pray. Pray for ways to partner with Fahim in the ministry that God has given him. Pray for him, to support him and his family, to look out for him. And also pray that if there's an opportunity as well for you to partner financially with Fahim. Just like we have Pastor Lana raises her money to do the ministry, to dedicate herself to what it is that she's doing. Pastor Fahim is looking to do that as well. Now, this is much larger than just a financial partnership. We're looking for to join together arm in arm with what God is doing, with the vision that God has for the future, for the extent, the enormous expanse of opportunity that Fahim seems to continue to have, and all these things. And so I want to encourage you to pray about that, to think about that, about how we can partner with Pastor Fahim and his family. If you'd like to partner with him financially, you can go to our church website. Under missions, Pastor Fahim is there. There's a link for a place to give and partner with him that way. If you want to come and talk to us, Pastor Fahim and I will just hang out at the front of the church here to answer any of the questions. But I really do want to encourage you to set some time aside today, this week, to pray, to consider the ways in which we can support what Pastor Fahim is doing. The Lord has brought him this far through many remarkable things that we haven't even talked about this morning, and we believe deeply and wholeheartedly that the Lord will continue to carry him forward into things that we can't even imagine right now. And so, Fahim, As we wrap up our time together, I just want to pray for Pastor Fahim and his family again as we partner together.
A couple of minutes, one more. I just want to thank people who are come from other Persian churches here. Can you lift up your hands? It's from other Persian church here. Thank you very much. That's good. I appreciate that. Bless you guys. And also, people who come from the different churches from not part of this, but they come for this. Like I have a couple of people like Jackie Gorin, who's been assisting me in ministry for many years. And Tagwani, who's been really part of our ministry and supporting us all that way. And I just want to thank you. And also I have a good news for those who are first generation here. Maybe they're like me, like English is their second language. Soon we are going to launch International Prayer Ministry. Which I like to invite you, if again you are English is your second language, please in a couple of next weeks or month try to come, you know, talk to me. I'd like to know who you are, and we want to see you partner with us for the International Prayer Ministry, because we know your country, your families need, you know, prayer, salvation. That's one thing. So and then officially later on we will launch it when it's right time come. But I need to prepare for some people for that, and you want to be partner with me to do that. And also I'm going to start Bible study in English language in my home in Maple Ridge from September, October, November. If anyone live in Maple Ridge, if you want to be part of that, please come and talk to us. We want to have every Thursday evening Bible study in English, because I know some people, they want to be, you know, not just for Persian people. So I want to share what, you know, what we have.
Amen. Like I said, Fahim's got a lot going on. It's a lot that the Lord has put in his heart. So let's pray together, church.
Yeah.
Lord, once again, we thank you for the gift that Pastor Fahim and his family are to this church, this local church, God. God, I thank you for the inspiration that he is to me personally, to all of us, Lord, to continue to take seriously the commission you have for our lives to make a real difference in the world around us, God. Lord, I think about what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9, where he talks about the need for workers, Lord, that the harvest is plentiful, and to pray for more workers to be sent out into the harvest. And so, God, we thank you for the workers that you have sent. We thank you for Pastor Fahim, for all the people that support the work that he's doing, all the people that work in the church here, God, all the other pastors and leaders and Sunday school teachers and ambassadors and ushers and everyone that partners well to participate in that harvest. And we pray that you bless Pastor Fahim and his family, bless his ministry and everything he puts his hands to, Lord. Pray you just continue to guide him, direct him, and provide for him as you have faithfully done all along this way. So we thank you again for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.